This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Thank you so much for being with us today. The folks on Bluegrass Sunday Morning continue to thank you. I was here yesterday by the folks listening to Grateful Dead and Friends, who thank you. WNRN thanks you. But the Wake Up Call gives you special love and thanks for being here. It is Fun Drive Sunday. This is all about WNRN sending you love. We try and do that 365 days a year, and we always appreciate those who call up and remember us during Fun Drive. We're going to be talking with Kirby Feltz and Allison Feroli from the Virginia Department of Emergency Management. A quick good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
And Allison, why do I feel like I misspoke your name again, even though I had it in my head?
No, you did it perfectly.
Feroli.
Feroli, correct.
And Kirby, your last name, so much easier. Feltz.
Feltz, yes.
But our special guest today with me during the last, did you remember, Ren? How many fun drives? How many times have you been with me on the radio now?
About five or six, maybe.
All the way back to when you were 7 or 8 years old.
Yep, very fun times.
Good fun times. So my co-host today, my 10-year-old nephew, Ren Henchy, because, Ren always makes this easier on me. We have a great time. Hopefully we make it a fun time for those of you who are listening to the WNRN station here on Sunday mornings. And today we invited the Virginia Department of Management because, Ren, what is one of your favorite topics?
Hurricanes and very bad weather.
So how do you, what do you do to enjoy that?
I just like how they do destruction.
So you watch the TV stuff and have you ever been in a hurricane?
Yes, about three times.
And how is that? I mean, tell me more about your background with hurricanes.
Well, in Isabel, we went to Williamsburg, and while we were in Williamsburg, it got a little flooded there. And then in Irene, we went to Williamsburg again, still got a little flooded there again. Then in Irene, Sandy?
That's so many hurricanes.
Yeah, a lot.
All right, so, Ren, my understanding is you also have interest in possibly being a weatherman?
Yes.
All right, so we're going to talk with Kirby and Allison today from the Virginia Department of Emergency Management. Let me give you our phone numbers. Please call up and make a pledge. 434-979-0919. We would love to hear from you here at WNRN on the wake-up call, especially. Thanks so much. But let's jump right in. 434-979-0919. We'd love to hear from you. But we're going to start our chat with Kirby and Allison from the Virginia Department of Emergency Management. Ladies, Ren's talking about hurricanes, but there's a lot of other parts to emergency management, right? We all think of hurricanes, tornadoes, et cetera, and now after 2 years ago, earthquakes. But there's more to it.
That is correct.
Yeah, absolutely. As emergency managers, we are looking to plan and prepare for what they call all hazards. So that's all of the weather events that you're talking about, Ren, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the derecho that we had last year here, and the earthquakes. But it's also things like technological disasters, like a water system failure or a dam failure, or, just not too far away, we have Lake Anna and the nuclear power plant up there. There could be emergencies emergencies that happen with those types of industrial areas that we try to prepare for as well. And then you can go all the way up to the extreme of the man-made terrorist incidents. And we're planning and preparing for all those types of circumstances. And it's everything from what you do to stay safe to how you recover and actions you can take to actually make the damage less than it would be. And that's called mitigation. So we cover that whole spectrum in emergency management.
We're going to continue talking to Kirby and Allison from the Virginia Department of Emergency Management. And I see the phone is ringing, but let me give people some plans, some hopes that I have for the hour. Thank you for listening, but my goal is to have 10 pledgers. 10 would be wonderful for the hour. It's one every 6 minutes. Love to have 10 pledgers. I would like one of them. At least one to be what we call an evergreen member. That's the goal of WNRN we reduced the number of days involved in our fund drive from 10 to 9 because of our evergreen members growing. And so a continual and we know the amount of money that we have coming in to pay our bills and budget. So please, again, 434-979-0919. 10 pledgers is our goal for the hour, one of them being an evergreen member. All right, so, Wren, we're talking with Miss Allison and Miss Kirby. You gave me a whole bunch of questions. Ask away.
Do you just help Charlottesville?
Well, actually, we cover Charlottesville, UVA, and Albemarle County. So it's, our office covers a 3 jurisdiction. It's a regional operation, pretty much. And we're very unique compared to other offices of emergency management that are within a local government. Most offices of emergency management only cover, let's say, a city or county or just a university. And we actually cover all 3. So we are helping not only Charlottesville, but we are helping UVA and also Albemarle County. And we do partner with all the other jurisdictions around the area if there is something else going on.
Do you think most Virginians are prepared for a natural disaster?
I think lots of Virginians are prepared, but there are a lot that are not prepared. So I'd have a hard time saying that most are prepared. I think folks like you who live along the coastline, they're probably more prepared because they see things happen on a more regular basis, and they see what it does. They see the destruction, mm-hmm. and how being a little bit prepared, knowing how to hunker down and shelter in place, or when it's smart to evacuate like you do to Williamsburg, knowing that because you have to do it and you realize it's the safest way to be. So there's a lot of areas for improvement for folks across the whole state, and everyone from kids all the way up to our most senior citizens that we have here can do something to be prepared.
Now, Wren, again, Rick Moore here from WNRN, and my guest co-host today, 10-year-old nephew Wren Henchy. Wren, thanks for coming up from the coastline to join me. We're talking with Kirby Feltz and Allison Feroli from the local section of Virginia Department of Emergency Management. Ladies, when you do this, we're talking about how Wren evacuated up to the Williamsburg area during these hurricanes. But there's always the group of people who don't move, even if it's a mandatory emergency. How do you, and granted, this may not fall into the Charlottesville-Albemarle group, but you certainly talk about it at your state meetings and maybe even in some cases here for blizzards and things. What do you do about those who refuse to follow the mandatory evacuation?
At that point, that's when we are educating people to know how to shelter in place and what items they should have in their household to withstand, being at their household or being stranded to where they can't get out once they are, being told to evacuate. Just a matter of, educating them on what supplies are necessary for them to stay at home if they choose to not evacuate.
And like you said, if it's a mandatory evacuation, ultimately, your local government and your law enforcement can say you have to leave now, but it is that individual decision, and they can choose to stay. But I think at that point, your law enforcement officers are saying, you are making this decision. No one is coming back to help you because we're asking you to leave.
Is that what makes it mandatory? To me, mandatory means you must. But what it sounds like what I'm hearing is that mandatory means if you want help, you must leave. If you choose not to follow the mandatory evacuation, then the government agencies may not be able to provide you assistance.
And that's correct. I mean, no local government takes an evacuation order lightly. There are all sorts of impacts. You know, there are economic, safety, all those sorts of things. So it is a very tortured point to get to that decision. We're going to ask these folks to leave and make it mandatory. I think those folks that live in those areas that face that circumstance know quite well how serious that sort of declaration is. But there will always be a handful of people that say, nope, this is my home and I'm staying here no matter what. And unfortunately, that's where we tend to see some folks lose their lives because they haven't listened to the local warnings and gotten out of the way of danger.
Well, Ren and I have a close relative who is a police officer in one of these low-lying areas. And I think that's one of his jobs is he stays behind and patrols the area as best he can because I think during Hurricane Isabel, 10 years ago now, the small city we're from, everything but this like 2-mile area was completely flooded.
Wow.
And so even those who attempt to offer assistance can't get around. I mean, they're in their boat. They're in the police boat doing their best to go from home to home.
Mm-hmm. Right. And there's a point in time where they are just hunkering down for their own safety as well. So there's a period where everyone is really fending for themselves.
All right. 11:11 here on WNRN. It is our fun drive Sunday here on the Wake Up Call. Please show us a little love. Call us up 434-979-0919. Our guests, Kirby Feltz, Allison Feroli from the Albemarle-Charlottesville area of Virginia Department of Emergency Management. My guest today, Ren Hinchy. Ren, do we have a pledge that you want to share with us?
Yes. From my grandma and grandpa, please put us down for a $200 contribution, Mom and Dad.
That's my mom and dad, Ren's grandparents. Woohoo! Big shout out to the family coming through, to help us out. Isn't that right, Ren? Big shout out to grandparents. Alright, so I don't expect everybody else to match my grandparents, although you're welcome to show them up by giving us, a little more than, they get. Again, 434-979-0919. Let me do this.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Support today for WNRN comes from
TNN Printing, serving Virginia since 1982. In addition to printing and copying, T&N specializes in construction document management, as well as dry mounting, binding, and mail services. T&N offers FSC-certified printing, an internationally recognized standard for production and consumption of forest products. T&N Printing can be reached at 434-971-8976 and t-nprinting.com.
Music Today powers ticketing for local venues such as the Intellos Wireless Pavilion, the Southern Cafe and Music Hall, and the Jefferson Theater, and is official web stores for hundreds of artists, athletes, and entertainers. That's Music Today.
Bodlin Center for the Arts at the University of Richmond, presenting artist voices with actress, playwright, and professor Anna Devere Smith. Known for her roles on The West Wing and Showtime's Nurse Jackie, Smith blurs the lines between lecture and theater in her presentation, Engaging the World, The Role of the Artist in Society, October 16th at the Modlin Center. Details at modlin.richmond.edu.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you. I'm hosting today with my nephew, Ren Hinchy. Ren, what's happening?
We are interviewing Allison Kirby from the VA Department of Emergency Management.
Excellent, excellent. That's correct. We're having a good time talking about dangerous weather, one of Wren's, I don't know, oddities and things that he likes. I mean, do people, you actually sit around, you were talking to your mom, asking her questions about tornadoes and things, correct?
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about, what do you do? There are TV shows on this. Do you just sit there and take notes?
No, I just file it back in my head, and every once in a while I'll pull it back, and then just ask my mom a couple questions. She'll probably say, no, I don't know anything. It's all up to you.
And a lot of moms are like that, I've found. You know, not all moms have the same interest as their 10-year-old boys. All right, so back with our guests. Hey, don't forget, please, we're asking folks to take the time to call up and make a pledge here to WNRN and the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Our goal today, 10 pledges, with one being what is called here an evergreen pledge. You can make your evergreen pledge. That means that you give us the monthly pledge that you would like to make, put it in your budget, give us the information how you would like that to be paid, with your credit card or out of your bank account in some manner. And we do that for as long as you would like. Make it a $10 pledge, a $20 pledge per month. And that way WNRN can count on the budget, include your dollars in our monthly budget. And you can support us. You don't have to worry about it when time is round. Did I make that pledge? What is the website again? But just so you know, it's WNRN.org. Go online, make your pledge, go to the bottom of the page, and select Wake Up Call as the show you would like to apply your pledge to as a thanks. It's a show you listen to, so follow along, everybody. WNRN.org, 979-0919. That's 434-979-0919. Wren, question for Kirby and Allison.
What types of natural disasters have you helped in Charlottesville with?
Well, I started in my job in last year, in 2012. Before that, I volunteered in the 2009-2010 snowstorms. We got walloped with really, really tons and tons of snow here. And so I volunteered over in the Emergency Operations Center during that storm. But then I started my job, and then that summer we had the derecho that hit at the end of June, which really hit the Charlottesville Albemarle area hard. Lots of tree damage, lots of power outages, lots of folks without water because they had wells that ran on electricity. So it was a big thing for this area. And then after that, we did stand up the Emergency Operations Center for Hurricane Sandy, because if you remember that storm, they really weren't sure where it was going to come on inland and make impact. And so there was a potential for this area to get hit, just like you would have been watching it at home. And thankfully for us, unfortunate for New Jersey and New York, it went further north. And so within 24 hours, we were able to stand down our operations and really didn't have much impact. And then again, we had another snowstorm this March in this year. It was a late storm. It was going to be really heavy and wet. So again, we stood up the Emergency Operations Center to, again, we're watching for power outages and things like that that make it really hard for folks in their daily lives. So those were kind of the three since I've taken over for just a year ago.
Allison?
And thankfully, since I've been on board since March, we haven't had anything. And let's
right.
cross our fingers it stays like that for a little while.
So Allison's a good luck charm.
Hey, yeah, I got blamed for the other one. So
hopefully I bring Kirby a little bit of luck.
I'll take it.
As long as Allison Feroli stays with our Charlottesville Albemarle area, no more heavy natural disasters.
There you go.
Thank you. Everybody should call and make a pledge to WNRN in the name of Allison Feroli at the wake-up call so that we can keep natural disasters from striking our area.
I'll be okay with that.
Again, this is WNRN and the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call and our fun drive. You know, I say this throughout the hour in different ways, but WNRN is a community resource, and we do that by having guests such as Allison and Kirby on, and other programs, other guests that we've had on in the past and in the future. We support local organizations. different topics that are important to our community, or just offering to provide education and commentary on. And we'd like you to place a value on this connection. Support the resource at WNRN and this program. A good first gift to WNRN can be $5 a month, less than your internet service, and brings you music and commentary that you don't hear anywhere else. Please pick up your phone, call us up. It's 434-979-0919. That's 979-0919. You can also go online at WNRN.org and make your pledge right now. With that monthly donation of $5 or more, you can get the newest, latest WNRN t-shirt as your gift, the white t-shirt designed by a graphic designer and photographer known for designing the cover of Wilco's Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, Red Hot Chili Peppers' Californication. It's a seven-color, it's really cool, it's sort of 3D-inspired image. It has WNRN in a large font. You can go online again and see the t-shirt just before you make your pledge, WNRN.org. So if you're not sure whether your financial support matters to us at WNRN, please consider that listeners provide the largest and most reliable source of the funding that keeps us on air. That's why your support does make a difference. So help us. Go to WNRN.org or call us again, 434-979-0919. I saw my man Mark Smith out there. He's finally gotten up after doing Grateful Dead and Friends show yesterday. They had a great 3-hour program with the music and with their support from the listeners. I hope we can do the same here for my hour again. 10 pledges. I've got a few more here that I can shout out to. I can thank Allison Moore. There you go, the family coming through. John Herman has made a pledge. Thank you so much, John. And then, again, we're talking about programs and topics and why we feel WNRN can use your support is so that you allow us to keep going. Some past shows that we did, we covered the ABC Sting operation. Back in May, we had folks from the Arc of the Piedmont here, certainly an important organization in our area to help those in need of help. Talked about family decisions just a couple weeks ago on what to do with your graduating high school student, whether to go to college, how to pick your college, whether it was best for you to start a career first. Had our local superintendents from Albemarle and Fluvanna County Schools. And one of my favorite shows from the last 6 months, we talked about manners with my friend Robin Jackson from her school called the Civility School. You know, let's take a moment and listen to some of that. Can you tell us an interesting story that sort of where a particular mannerism or piece of etiquette came from?
Sure. You know, a lot of people think that rules of etiquette, good manners, just kind of happens, that somebody makes these up and then we're expected to follow them. And actually, most rules of etiquette have historical background. Most of them have practical reasons that they came into being. So one of the stories that the boys, especially in the classes that I teach, love is about a dinner knife. When you rest your dinner knife on your plate, the sharp part, the blade, should point in toward you, not toward the other people. In the Middle Ages, if you sat down with your knife, which didn't really look anything at all like the dinner knife we use, and the sharp part pointed out, it was a challenge. It was a challenge to everybody at the table. It was seen as a challenge to a duel, as a challenge, which often ended up in a bloody kind of a battle at the dinner table. So you can see why, over many years, people got very used to making sure that the blade on the knife pointed in, not out.
An hour full of these, as
yes.
well as things that, I'm sitting here, you're telling me this story, and I'm thinking, oh, well, that's kind of cool. I had no idea. I always thought I grew up in a family where manners were appropriate, and I still say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, to people, whether they're near my age or seniors to me. And some people get upset by that, and I had a guest on here a couple weeks ago who said, yes, sir, to me, and I recognize why, but I said, all right, let's stop that. I'm not going to listen to that for an hour.
Yeah, I mean, that whole idea of using sir and ma'am is just is one example of a cultural manner. It's something that here in Charlottesville and many parts of Virginia, we love to hear. A lot of parents teach their children that saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am is an important part of being a respectful, deferential child. And you travel to other parts of the country, and people really don't want to hear that. They actually see it as being a little obsequious, and making the child look just obsequious and kind of over
obsequious.
The top.
Watch the jar. This is a class 101.
A little too goody two-shoe. How about that?
All right.
Yeah, and you know, so you have to be careful with things like that. When I work with children, I a lot of times will talk with the parents and say, you know, what do you expect your children to call you? And what do you expect your children to call your friends? Because in some parts of the country, you know, in the South, for example, a lot of people will call adults in their lives Miss so-and-so. You would be maybe Mr. Rick. I might be Miss Robin. In the North, that might be really seen as kind of silly. And not a good practice. So lots of rules of etiquette, lots of what we consider to be good manners, are dependent upon where people are. Now, where it's gotten a little bit difficult, at least for me, is are these kind of email group invitations.
Right. My friend is playing in a band.
Yes.
Here, or... You know, and I'm going to throw one out. Please don't be upset, listeners. The Crozet Arts and Crafts Festival, and I'm going to have a booth there.
Yeah.
You know, come on down. Yes, no, maybe.
Yeah. I have been, you know, kind of guilty of not responding to those as timely as I really should. I mean, if someone sends you a request, no matter how it is sent, you have to reply. You need to say. Now, the maybe button, though, I find a little disconcerting. I don't like the maybe button. I think you reply yes or no. I, again, have to admit that I have occasionally used the maybe button, but I don't plan on using it anymore, I promise. I think it's a cop-out.
11:46 on the wake-up call, Community Independent WNRN. Robin Jackson's here with us from the Civility School. You know, you host a party, whether it's... you know, me having a big cookout or your child having a birthday party. And something I've read about is the pre-made thank you note and bag. Thank you for coming. Please take this gift bag with you. And inside the gift bag may be, you know, some little treats that you made or, you know, a reminder of the great birthday party that you had. And in it is a pre-written thank you note.
Yeah, ugh. Don't like that. I'm not a fan of the pre-written thank you note. What that's saying is, I realize the thank you note is an obligation, so here it is. Please just mail it back to me. I don't think a thank you note should be seen as an obligation. I think a thank you note is truly a chance to connect with somebody and truly a chance to show your appreciation. It's a time to say thank you for thinking of me. Now, it doesn't matter what the gift or event was. Even if you had an awful time, the fact is someone took the time to think about you. Or if it's an awful gift, someone took the time to think about you. So I think we need to get away from feeling like a thank you note is a silly little obligation, a little thing that we check off our list.
I loved having Robin Jackson in here from the Civility School back in June. I got a lot of positive feedback from that program because, you know, as I've reached an older stage in life, you hear, oh, those kids, they don't know their manners. They never follow a thing. Kirby, you said you had kids?
I do. Two boys, 8 and 6.
I'm sure they have great manners, but they're friends.
Right.
Or maybe not the friends of who have parents that you know, but the other friends, the kids in their school, no manners. for these people, right? They should go to the civility school. They'd learn so much.
I think
from
we could all learn from the civility school, actually.
Yeah, Robin.
I'd like to go back and refresh my
memory. Yeah, Allison, you need to go back. Allison, also, you said, I hope it's okay to say this, another job being a bartender.
I am a bartender.
I'm sure that some people could learn manners at the bar.
Oh, yes. Or even just in a restaurant. How about that?
Yeah.
So again, please, we'd love to have your pledge here at WNRN. Again, my goal today, 10 pledges during the hour. We have another one. I think this takes me to number 6, counting all those who've done their work online. Barbara Norden. Barbara Norden is so fun. She is an author. She's done some great sort of mystery stories. Barbara, I hope you're still listening, and you and I can get together for you to come back on. She's done several sort of trying to recognize where, I can't remember his last name, it's Pat somebody who disappeared and was the image is that he was thrown down and somewhere buried under cement in the new hospital when it was built decades ago. And Barbara's a great story writer and tells a great tale on the radio. I hope I can have Barbara back on in the future. I'd love to have your pledge so I can thank you on the air just like I did Barbara there. 434-979-0919, WNRN.org. Again, your pledge can be $5, $20. You can make a monthly pledge or break it up so that it fits into your budget properly. I'm still looking for that one evergreen member for this hour. Would love to have you. Please keep Mark Smith busy out there. He's probably taking a nap now after all those jam band friends. They always stay up until early, early in the morning, which is why he doesn't sign up to answer phones until 11 o'clock on Sundays. All right, back with our guests today, Allison Feroli, Kirby Feltz from the Charlottesville Albemarle Department, region of the Virginia Department of Emergency Management. Ladies, both of you were talking about how you got started as volunteers. Ren, that brought a question to your mind?
What are some things volunteers might do in a disaster response?
That's actually a great question, Ren. One group that we do utilize a lot in the area is called the Community Emergency Response Team, otherwise known as CERT, and that is a volunteer group that is, there's different CERT groups all across the nation, but we do have one group here in the Charlottesville UVA Albemarle area. And we do train those volunteers about emergency preparedness, and we do have them go through advanced trainings and learn all different aspects of responding in different types of areas of preparedness. What volunteers can do during a disaster is that we use them help to answer our 979 info line in our emergency operations center when we do activate that center during or after a storm. And there they take non-emergency calls and answer questions, give information out about where shelters are located, if we are distributing any water, what roads are closed, just any general information that is not an emergency. Information to give out to the citizens. Another thing that volunteers do help us out with is that we will use them to possibly help some of our first responders with damage assessments and things like that. And also, if you know, hopefully they can help their own community as a volunteer and with their knowledge, if there's any citizens in their community area about with, you know, getting them out, making sure they're okay, getting them supplies and resources. So there is multiple areas that volunteers here in the area can be used during and after a disaster. So.
All right. You started as a volunteer, and then why did you take the job, or how did you get the job? Hey, best volunteer gold star.
It's a fascinating line of work to be in. There are so many different areas that you get exposed to and get information on. As an emergency manager, I'm not an expert in any one of the areas necessarily. I rely on experts to inform me, and I help manage that information.
You're a great organizer.
That's my job, right. But, I mean, it's everything from transportation to communication systems, public works and engineering, firefighting, police officers, sheltering, mass care, medical. I mean, this huge collection of basically your whole all the major functions in your community come together and scramble to react to what's happened and basically work to get things back to normal. And it's a huge effort that goes into it. And volunteers play a huge role in it. You know, Allison mentioned CERT, but there's some basic ones that will be very familiar to folks. Red Cross, Salvation Army, they're very obvious volunteers in emergency response. Tons of faith-based organizations have disaster relief missions. And those are great organizations because they're often, you know, beyond the first critical response. Those volunteers help sustain a community as it gets back on its feet in the recovery process. So they're a critical part of it.
All right, 11:34 here on the Wake Up Call. Fundraiser Sunday, please call up and support us during the fund drive, WNRN and the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Again, it's 434-979-0919. My guest, co-host Ren Henchy with me today as we're talking with Kirby Feltz and Allison Feroli from the Charlottesville Albemarle Group, Virginia Department of Emergency Management.
Our members are joined by the following underwriters in their support of WNRN.
Price Hyundai on 29 North. From Hyundai, it's the new Veloster, 38 miles per gallon highway, standard BlueLink telematics with hands-free texting. The new Veloster, new thinking for the next generation of drivers. You can find out more at jimpricehyundai.com.
Ragged Mountain Running Shop, number 3 Elliewood Avenue on the UVA corner. Ragged Mountain specializes in hard-to-fit feet, injury resolution, and training advice, and features nearly a dozen brands of running shoes. Charlottesville's community running headquarters since 1982, the Ragged Mountain Running Shop.
Hi, I'm Mary Maxfield from Habitat for Humanity of Greater Charlottesville. We invite you to our Lego Blitz build at the Intellos Wireless Pavilion on the downtown mall on Friday, October 4th, beginning at 4:30. We're hosting this family-friendly, all-ages event in honor of UN-mandated World Habitat Day. The Lego Blitz build provides an opportunity for youth to learn about the need for adequate shelter and to practice creative problem-solving and teamwork in a fun and educational environment. The Lego Blitz build invites kids to be the builders who imagine and construct new homes for our growing community. Prizes will be awarded by the Habitat construction crew for outstanding Lego homes. For more information, visit us at SeavilleHabitat.org. I'm Mary Maxfield, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection@WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you so much for being with us today. This is Fun Drive Sunday. We're talking about emergency management, natural disasters, and all kinds of stuff. And you know, if you support WNRN, then you won't have disaster in your life because you will have a great radio station with great programming to continue to listen to. 434-979-0919. I'd like to remind you that the goal is to have discussions and topics and people that are important to you from our community in here. So if we've covered that topic, if we've brought in members of that organization that you faithfully support or find to be intriguing, and you've listened along with us for the hour, because typically that's what I'm doing, is I'm attempting to listen along and ask the questions that I think everyone else would ask if they were given the chance. Please call up. Make your pledge. The goal was 10. Counting the computer pledges, I have 6. That's about right. 60% through the hour. 6 of 10 pledges for our goal. Please dial up. Okay, back with my co-host, Ren Henchy.
Hello.
And our guests, Kirby Feltz and Allison Feroli. Ladies, when we talk about natural disasters, we touched on this earlier. Weather. We had an earthquake a couple years ago, which I think caught a lot of people off guard because I would think that earthquake wasn't very high up the list of emergencies that we might have to deal with. But even then, that's a natural disaster that could be brought on, but there's all these other disasters that people, I think, it's very low on the list. Allison, Kirby, you touched on a water issue. There's cyber hacking. Does that fall under your category of things to take care of?
All of those, you know, we do all hazards planning. So it is everything from any of your infrastructure emergencies to cybersecurity, cyber hacking. There could certainly be major local ramifications with some sort of breach of an IT system that runs major infrastructure.
Just also, you know, with a nuclear plant in the area, we have to think about those type of disasters. Any type of man-made type of terrorism, we have to think about that as well.
But they all have different. I mean, we always talk about the disaster kit. All right, Ren, your question.
Should people have a disaster kit for natural disasters?
Expand that a little bit, because there's the disaster kit for the blizzard, there's the disaster kit for the hurricane, but what kind of disaster kit can you have for the cybersecurity breach?
I mean, everyone should definitely be building an emergency kit that they should have within their house and in their car and maybe in their workplace to, you know, help them get through a natural disaster if they can't get water or they need food and they have no power. As far as any other type of disaster that, you know, you should have those supplies regardless, just in case you need them. But as far as, you know, any man-made terrorism or man-made disasters or cyber events, it's a matter of just making sure, especially with cyber, you have your data and all your important information in a safe location and not just, let's say, stored in a cloud or you have it in multiple other areas. So you still have access to that information. As far as other type of, let's say, terrorism, just knowing what's around you, being aware of your surroundings, understanding any abnormal behavior and reporting that to local authorities and things like that, just keeping an eye out of what's going on in your area. If you live by an important, let's say, infrastructure, let's say a major bridge or a dam, just know what the status is of that piece of infrastructure. Know, what you should do as far as living close to those different types of situations, of what you need to do as a resident if you need to, evacuate. Know what your evacuation routes are, where you can go if you get trapped or if you get stranded. What could you do? What should you do? Things like that.
And I think if you think about what your emergency kit is for, it is for you as an individual and you and your family to survive, right? So it's the food and the water and medications. Your kit's going to look different from your neighbor down the street, right? You need to figure out what it is that you need. If you have pets, if you have young children, everybody's going to have some different needs, and your kit needs to reflect that. It needs to support you whether you're sheltering in place at home or whether you've decided to get out of Dodge and you take it with you. So you kind of have to look critically at it. The core elements that you have in your kit should support you no matter what the incident is that's happening.
I know how to prepare for a hurricane, but how do you prepare for an earthquake?
That's a really good question, because what you do is different, certainly. With a hurricane, you either evacuate because you live close to an area that floods, or if you're up here, we hunker down and we stay in place, right? With an earthquake, the threats are a little bit different. The real threat is something falling on you and hurting you that way. So the information that you need to remember is drop, cover, and hold on. That's the three phrases that you want to think about. And that's to keep stuff from falling on you. So you're here in the studio right now, and if things started shaking, we would want to make sure we can cover our head and get down low so these things that are hung from the ceiling here don't fall and hit us. So that's what you're trying to prepare for. Again, your emergency supply kit should have those basic you know, the water, the food, the medicines, and all those other things that are going to help you once the shaking stops and if there is larger damage. But in the moment of an earthquake, you want to cover your head, get down low so things don't fall on you and hurt you.
WNRN and the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call are guests on Fun Drive Sunday. Kirby Feltz, Emergency Management Coordinator of the Charlottesville Albemarle Section of Department of Emergency Management. Allison Feroli, she's the Deputy Coordinator with that group, talking about dangerous weather, how to be prepared. You know, that's one of the things that WNRN needs your help with, is being prepared with your pledge. 434-979-0919, 60% of the way through my goal of 10 pledges for the hour. Would love to hear from you. Thanks to Allison, Barbara, Brenda, John, Kathy. Thanks to grandparents, right, Ren?
Exactly right.
Can all use some thanks and shout-outs to our grandparents. Allison and Kirby, you mentioned animals. I had an incident happen just this week where, you know, I got hurt and I seemed more concerned about my dog. And those regular listeners would know that my dog Lazarus, very important to me. And, you know, I'm bleeding all over the place and I'm more concerned about getting him safe, seeing if he's hurt, etc. But there's a specific group. There's a Virginia State Animal Response Team that this is what they do.
Right, absolutely. The State Animal Response Team, or SART, is a statewide organization focusing on animals in emergencies. Locally, you'll see those groups represented as CART, Community Animal Response Team, and there are a couple in the surrounding communities, and we're trying to start an animal response team group here. And it's folks that are trying to support anyone with animal sheltering, because, you know, most people, their animals are their kids, they're their family members, and so you want to... a lot of folks won't leave home if they need to leave home for whatever's happening if they can't take their animals with them. So we need to develop a sheltering support system to be able to help take care of those animals in an emergency. You would have seen after Hurricane Katrina or in some of the, I think maybe even Hurricane Isabel, where animals did get left behind, and it was quite a Herculean effort to go back into these flooding areas and collect these animals that were left behind because there was no other choice for their humans than to leave without them. And we're trying to avoid that in this area by having identified teams of volunteers that will help organize and run animal shelters. There are rules and regulations that the animal shelters can't keep the animals in the same space with their people unless it's a service animal. So we need to work out other sheltering support options in that case.
Ren, I know you're a fan of natural disasters, at least watching them on TV, if not participating in one and living through one. How about zombies?
Not a big fan of zombies.
No, not a big fan of zombies. But other people, zombies is sort of a big deal in the media world in terms of television shows, movies, and books. And I saw something I found pretty entertaining was that down in the Hampton Roads area, they had the zombie apocalypse. And the quote I got here is, if you're generally well equipped to deal with a zombie apocalypse, you will be prepared for hurricane, pandemic, earthquake, or terrorist attack.
Absolutely.
Are we going to do any fun stuff like that up here in the Charlottesville Albemarle area? I mean, they have some sort of race around Halloween. It's like the zombie.
I've seen the
5K
zombie road race, right?
Yeah,
yes.
Like that. Hopefully, maybe down the road we'll be able to put something together fun like that and help, you know, have a fun way of educating the community on being prepared for not only zombies, but, you know, transferring that to being prepared for emergencies and disasters.
And I do agree with that statement that, you know, preparing well for one type of thing, be it a zombie attack or the hurricane, it gets you well prepared for the other things that you might face.
Which might be the way to get the kids more involved.
I do agree.
I mean, you know, sometimes telling the kid, you know, here's what we need to do, here's what, you know, where you need to go, and you get the, okay, why is that important, what we need to do, and... You know, if your kids happen to be interested in zombies, this may be the way to draw them in.
Absolutely. I mean, it can be a quite somber topic, but it doesn't have to be. Those different types of fun ways to tackle the challenge are the way to go, I think.
Yes.
11:48 here on the Wake Up Call, talking about zombies and other possible and important emergencies and how to prepare for them with Kirby Feltz and Allison Feroli. 434-979-0919. Would love to hear from you. Still not at my goal of 10 pledges for the Wake Up Call. Hope we can hear from you. I do see that there's something coming up called the Great Southeast Shakeout, sort of which sounds similar in the sense of it's meant to be a fun way of promoting the important act of preparedness?
The Great Southeast Shakeout is an event that is, an event that goes on throughout the nation, but this one is for the Southeast, and on October 17th at 10:17 a.m., it is a earthquake drill. And organizations, individuals can go onto the Great Southeast Shakeout website and register just to show that people want to participate in this earthquake drill. And this is just getting it's a fun way of promoting earthquake preparedness and knowing, educating the community on what to do if there is an earthquake. So, please go on to the Great Southeast Shakeout website. You can just Google that and register. And on October 17th at 10:17 a.m., act like that there is a big earthquake happening, or maybe another 5.8 that happened on August 23rd, 2011. And, drop, cover, and hold on. If everyone can just go and practice this type of drill at least once a year, it'll be keep everyone fresh in their memory on what they need to do if an earthquake does happen again here in Central Virginia.
I also saw in doing my homework that there's a free mobile app.
There are actually quite a few free mobile apps. There's the Ready Virginia. Virginia Department of Emergency Management has an app that's a great tool where you can build your emergency communication plan and sort of document all of your personal emergency planning in that app, and it gives you information about the types of things that tend to happen in Virginia. Red Cross has a bunch of great emergency preparedness apps, and they're incident-specific. So there's a hurricane app, there's an earthquake app, there's a wildfire app, and those are all great free downloads to educate yourself about what can happen, what the good decisions are that you make to keep yourself safe, and it's a great organizing tool.
All right, so check out your app. By the way, I'm sure that you can use your app, WNRN app, on your phone, your smartphone, to go online and make your pledge. Whether it's for this program, whether it's for Les Temps Perdue coming up in just a few minutes, or just any other favorite show that you have on WNRN. It doesn't have to be for Wake Up Call. WNRN is the important goal here. Think of your contribution here as an investment. All we ask is a few minutes of the time and a few of your hard-earned dollars, and it brings you hours and hours of great programming, hopefully this hour, but others as well. It's WNRN.org. Take a few minutes. Call us up, 979-0919. We'd love to hear from you either way.
Today's programming on WNRN is supported by
the Jefferson Theater, presenting Chromatic, Age of Reason Fall Tour 2013 with Herobust and X-Mag, Wednesday, October 2nd. Slovenian-born Chromatic is known for lush, big beats mixing multiple genres of music. Tickets for the October 2nd show are at jeffersontheater.com. Chromatic, Wednesday at the Jefferson Theater.
All right, back with our guests, Kirby Feltz, Allison Feroli from our local group in the Department of Emergency Management. Ren?
Did you help out during Hurricane Sandy, like in New York or New Jersey?
I personally did not. We stood up here, like I said, we stood up the Emergency Operations Center, and once that threat had passed this area, we got back to doing the planning and efforts that we normally have. There were a lot of folks from this area, though, a lot of members of volunteer groups that went up and helped. One of our volunteers. Bob Mitchell is active in a disaster relief organization Beyond CERT, and he spent many, many weeks up in New York and New Jersey helping out in the aftermath. And I'm sure there are many more people that did that.
And that's somewhat what we're talking about here, is there are hurricanes or blizzards, et cetera, that come through here that have days and days of announcement that this could happen. And then in Sandy, even though there was certainly, I mean, it got the name Superstorm because there was great expectation of it, I think for many people, at least in that area, they had no true belief that it was going to happen because it hadn't happened before.
That is correct.
Well, and I think it has happened before, but it was back in 1938.
Right, but it hadn't happened in their lifetime.
Exactly,
They hadn't seen it.
Right.
Or it hadn't happened to them, or it hadn't happened to someone else that they knew and had seen it across the country, you know, in that location.
Certainly. I mean, I know, you know, being an emergency manager, we've studied the potential for big storms like that hitting major metropolitan areas like New York City and doing tremendous damage like it did. So, you know, there's a small slice of the population that knew what could potentially happen. But for the regular citizen who this isn't what they pay attention to and what they do, I'm sure it was a huge, huge shock.
Right. If you can't envision, you know, Wren can envision the water surrounding his house from a hurricane or a nor'easter of some sort. There are people in other parts of our country who can envision 30 inches of snow coming from a single snowstorm over a day or two. People in New York City and New Jersey area could not envision water in the subway system. And I think that's what the Department of Emergency Management, that's what you do, is convince people and remind them that emergencies of all types are all possible.
I'm definitely out in the community, you know, on a daily basis trying to connect with community members and to educate them about, you know, emergency preparedness and let them know that, you know, disasters and emergencies of all kinds can happen here on any day, at any time, and it can happen to anyone. And just trying to get them to realize that, you know, things are changing and things are, you know, weather is going to get possibly crazier, even different to more weird, you know, and just try to educate them on, you know, being prepared regardless of what they've seen in their lifetime and what they haven't. I mean, just for example, I'm born and raised in Southern California. I lived through earthquakes my whole life. And so coming to Virginia thinking that earthquakes can't happen here and having one happen was, you know, a little different for me, but I was used to it. And it was really shocking to me to see that, you know, people in this area did not know what to do with an earthquake. And so that really drove me to really help them understand that regardless of where you are, even where you travel to, you know, you need to understand that, you know, any type of disaster emergency can happen to you, and to just try and be as prepared as best you possibly can for that.
Just a few minutes left in our show. Please dial us up. Make your pledge, 434-979-0919. Let me give you a hint on some shows that are coming up in the future. We'll be doing a show with the Virginia Film Festival, talking about them, Extraterrestrial Life, with University of Virginia professor Edward Murphy. We talked about the hurricanes. We'll be talking with some folks who made a documentary on the demise of the oysterman in the Chesapeake Bay, Affordable Care Act, someone who is giving talks around our area on the what she calls the truths, not the politics, of Obamacare. Santa Claus will visit, as he regularly does, in December. If these things are important to you, please call us up. Just a few minutes left, 434-979-0919. If you've gotten here late or listening to this via podcast, you can always go online to the WNRN website, WNRN.org. Wren and I were doing our homework before we started the show today. Wren, you found an interesting topic on the website. Ask your question to Allison and Kirby.
What is the Virginia Disaster Relief Fund?
The Virginia Disaster Relief Fund was something that was set up by Governor McDonnell in 2010. In the southwestern part of the state, there were some big tornadoes that caused a lot of damage. And the locality responded, but folks lost their homes, lost all of their stuff. They didn't get what's called a federal disaster declaration. And that declaration is what allows the FEMA money to be given to, applied for and given to these local folks to repair their homes. They didn't get that declaration. So we had a lot of folks suffering down in Southwest Virginia. The governor established this disaster relief fund where community members could donate money. And that money was then allocated and given to those folks down there. It's been used after the earthquake. Again, that was a surprise. Tons of folks didn't have earthquake insurance, so they were left with huge bills that weren't covered by their insurance. And so the Disaster Relief Fund helps to fill those what's called unmet needs after an emergency to help folks get their life back in order and get their home repaired.
All right. Time to go. 11:59 in the wake-up call. Turning it over to Tamara and Drew for Les Temps Perdue. I hope you will make your pledge to any show at any time to WNRN. I want to thank those who pledge. I want to thank those who listen. You know, just because you didn't pledge doesn't mean you should feel left out. We appreciate your calls, your comments, your ears every Sunday. All right. My guest host today, Drew Hinchey.
Hello.
Actually, you should say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And our guests, Allison Feroli and Kirby Feltz from the Virginia Department of Emergency Management. Something we do here on the show, making sure that all the organizations and important groups get some airtime. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Les Temps Perdue up next. Thank you.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 19... 19-